If you have your copy of God's Word, if you'll turn to a couple of places in the Word of God. First of all, if you'll turn to the book of Acts chapter 13, the book of Acts chapter 13, and then turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9. And I want to read these couple passages of Scripture as a foundation tonight. And hallelujah. The book of Acts chapter 13 and verse 44 is where I'm going to begin reading. And beginning in verse 44, it says, "And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. And then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be the salvation, that you shall be for salvation to the ends of the earth.' And now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecuting against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from the region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Now, if you turn over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I want to read one verse of Scripture there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. Actually, verse 8. We'll say verse 8. "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effectual door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries." And there are many adversaries. You know, sometimes when preaching the Word of God and you're putting the Word of God into the ears of believers, one of the prayers that I pray each time that I preach, and one of my prayers is as I preach, is that not only am I just speaking words, but that if folks will receive the Word of God, what begins to happen, what we see through Scripture, when people receive the Word of God, when we open ourselves to receive the Word, what happens is God confirms that Word through signs and wonders. In other words, when the Word of God is preached, God confirms that Word in signs and wonders. So you preach healing, God confirms the Word with healing. When you preach on blessing, God confirms the Word with blessing. And so God always backs up His Word with signs and wonders. And so when we preach something and we lay something out, or when we put something into the atmosphere, God always confirms that with His signs and wonders. That's my prayer. That's my prayer when I preach, is that God, those who receive that word will be confirmed through signs and wonders. And so that's the prayer tonight, is that what I'm going to release tonight and what I'm going to preach tonight. And I pray that God, you will confirm it through signs and wonders. And I want to talk tonight, and I want to talk a little bit tonight about seizing God's given purpose and opportunities. I want to talk about seizing God's given purpose and opportunities in our life, not missing the opportunities that God has for us. So I want you to open your spirit tonight. I want you to dilate your spirit and allow God to speak to you and open your heart tonight and allow God to begin to speak. Because every time I receive the Word of God from God, or every time I get instruction from God and God opens a door of purpose for me, Usually when God opens the door of opportunity for us and open the door of purpose in our life, when we step out into it, when we step by faith out into doing what we feel God is instructing us to do, it seems that's when I step out, and as I move forward, I'm always confronted with opposition. In other words, when we receive a word from God, and we receive that word, and all of a sudden the Lord opens a door of opportunity for us, whether it's individually or whether it's as a church, when you begin to step forward and you begin to walk that word out and move toward that word, or move toward what you've received, or what your calling is, or what God's called you to do, what you will see is that immediately there will be things that will confront, or opposition will immediately come. Now, sometimes that opposition is unpleasant. Sometimes it's unexplained. Sometimes it's unforeseen. And so a lot of times from the pulpit, you know, when we preach, or when I preach, or when we preach from the pulpit, we want God's purpose for everyone. We want people to find the purpose that God has for them, the calling that God has for them on their life. We want everyone to feel that they're walking in what God has designed them to walk in. And many times when we preach and we call people to fast, or we call people to pray, or we call people to step out into their gifts, or step out into their ministry, or step out by faith to do something for God, usually when we do step out, what begins to happen is there's adversity that comes. And a lot of times we're confronted with that adversity when it comes. And so when we step out to do that, what happens? Here's what you have to understand. When you receive a promise in the Word of God, or you receive what God is asking you to do, or you see an open door of opportunity, and you begin to step into that open door of opportunity, what you're inviting is, you are inviting warfare. You're hearing what I'm saying tonight? When you make a decision that you're going to go with God on something, when you're going to follow God through it, when you're going to stay the course, when you're going to step out by faith in something, when you begin to do that, you have to understand that there is warfare that's going to come against. There's going to be opposition that's going to come against that step of faith that you take. Anytime you begin to try to make a change in your life, or to bring correction, or to bring an adjustment, or to do something that you've not done before, or to step into something that God is calling you to do, when you step out in faith to go that direction, there will be opposition that shows up. And you have to understand, there's an invitation to warfare that comes when that happens. And here's what happens. We say, yes, Lord, yes. And all of a sudden, we begin to wait out, slowly walk in to that open door or that opportunity that God has opened for us. And we begin to walk into it, and all of a sudden, bam, we're hit with something. Or boom, you're attacked by the enemy. Or boom, your family's attacked. Or boom, there's a setback physically, or a setback financially. In other words, the same thing can go for a church. A church makes a declaration. It declares that it's going to do something for God. It declares that it's going to break out of something and step by faith into something. As soon as you begin to work toward that, there will be opposition that will come against that. We can't just get up and say and believe, we believe a city can be won, and not expect to invite some warfare that comes with that. We can't get up and say we want to feed the city, or clothe the naked, and work with drug addicts, and help people break through in their life, and preach a gospel that changes, and preach a gospel that converts, and preach a gospel that heals, and preach a gospel that transforms, and preach that and think there's not going to be any kind of warfare that comes with that. Or to believe that you're going to step in faith. Listen, step in faith and start. Listen, from day one that this church started, the enemy did not like it. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? And some of you don't even know some of the adversity that had to go on when stepping out and doing what God calls you to do. There will be warfare. There's an invitation of warfare. But what happens is the enemy will take a shot. Bam! Boom! There's a hit to your family. Boom! There's a hit that you take. And what the enemy is trying to do is to get you to subconsciously or consciously pull back into the safe zone and get you to second guess that step of faith. Hit you with something unexplained, unprepared, that it comes your way, an open door, an opportunity, and you step into what you feel God's purpose is, and all of a sudden adversity comes, and the enemy is trying to push you back where you came from, push you back from where you were, and to get you into that place, that safe zone, where you'll learn not to step out by faith anymore, because you know in order to do that, there's a cost and a price to be paid in order to step in by faith. And so what happens is the enemy tries to condition us. Just like Pablo's dog. The ringing of the bell. I want to tell you, the enemy is not so much concerned that we're a church. He's not even so much concerned that we have services. And I want to tell you, the devil is really not that worried about the fact but let me tell you what the devil does get worried about. The devil does get worried about when you begin to step out into realms of faith and places and areas to where change is going to take place. And when you step into a calling or a purpose to go higher, to go better, to do something you've not done before, then the enemy again is not going to try. He's going to bring adversity to keep you back into that safe place, to push you back where you were. God will open doors and opportunities for us. Did you know that the doors that God opens for us, the opportunities that He gives us, do you know that they begin in the mind of God? You say, well, how do you know that? Because Jeremiah 29:11 says this, I know the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not evil, to give you an expected end, the Scripture says. In other words, God's thoughts are for success. God's thoughts, in other words, I'm thinking about your purpose. I'm thinking about opportunities for you. And here's what I've noticed. What I've begun to notice is this. As over the years as a pastor, and I've gone into cities, or I go to a familiar place, or go back to cities I pastored in, or go back home, or go back to places I learned that being from a familiar area, you see things. And I always notice churches. Well, I'm a pastor. I guess I do. But I always notice churches. And I always kind of look at churches and see what's going on. And a lot of times you'll drive by a church, and that church is the same as it has been for 20, 30, 40, and 50 years. You see no change going on. Now listen, I'm not being critical. I'm trying to make a point here. And the point that I'm trying to make is you can go. And what happened is that no change is happening. Nothing is going on. And what has happened is the devil has taught them and the devil has contained them. The enemy wants to contain you and me. How many, if I ask the question, how many of you believe God wants things to grow? Amen. How many know God wants us to grow personally, right? How many know He wants the church to grow? Right? And here's what begins to happen. Here's how God contains churches. Is that a church will do well for a while, and it'll get some new people in, and there's a little bit of excitement, a little bit of growth. And what happens is they'll hit that ceiling of capacity, or they'll hit that ceiling of containment, or that glass ceiling, that invisible glass ceiling, where they've learned that we don't go past this far. We can only believe God for this. We can only believe God to hear. We can only believe God to this moment or to this place. And what happens is, over the years as things transpire, older people go out. I don't mean old people, but I mean older people. And newer people come in. And then older people go out and newer people come in. I don't mean old people in age, I mean people. And that church gets in a cycle to where the enemy has taught it that its capacity, there's a glass ceiling that it can only go so far. And what happens is it can only take people so far. And so what happens is for all those years it gets contained by the enemy and it never has an effect. There's never any growth. And what the Lord is beginning to show me is that what the enemy wants to do in our hour and what he wants to do here, but we're not letting him. Is he wants to contain us and leave us at a place to where we don't grow or go past a certain level or a glass ceiling. He wants to put a cap on our capacity, a cap on our ability to grow, a cap on our ability to go to the next level. He wants to build complacency in us and apathy in us. And so when we step out in faith and the enemy gives us a shot of warfare, the whole shot is to push us back into that place of complacency and that place of containment and where the devil draws a line and says, you don't go past this spot. And we get conditioned. We get settled. We get happy in Babylon. As all those who were in captivity when they decided they were going to go back and Nebuchadnezzar gave them their freedom. And all of a sudden, only one third wanted to go, but the other two thirds wanted to stay back. Why? Because they did not want to step out of that comfort they were in. And they were conditioned to believe that where they were was better than where they're going. I'm here to tell you that what God has for you and what God has for the church and what God has for this church cannot be entered into your mind. You do not have the capacity to understand what God really wants to do at River Valley or in Madison or even in your life. But if the enemy can get you to think this is the best it can get, this is the best it can go, this is where it needs to stay, if he can get you to believe, he can contain you and you lose the ability to transform and to change people's lives. Containment. He wants to contain your faith. He wants to contain your, potential. He wants to contain your future. I ask you the question, should the work of God grow? And you know, if this church doesn't grow, then you can look no further than me. And if you don't grow spiritually, you can't look any further than you. Because God's work is always growing, always building, always taking to another level, always going to another level. And whatever God wants to do, he wants to stir us to a place to where we begin to understand that God wants us to seize every moment and purpose and opportunity that comes. That being said, listen, God will give each of us in our personal ministries opportunities. He will also give us opportunities as a church. And if we keep missing those opportunities, we will miss the purpose of God for our life. And what happens is we become satisfied with a life of containment. We become satisfied with a little bit of a status quo. As long as we have a good service every once in a while, as long as we get stirred just a little bit every once in a while, I'm here to tell you that we can't just be complacent. We have to learn that God has a mission. God has a purpose. God has a 50-year plan, a 100-year plan. God has a plan to take us where we've never been before, where we've never been spiritually before. I'm here to tell you, I believe God can raise this church up to be a church like none other in this area. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Listen, more than just three songs and a sermon on Sunday morning and just putting people on the prayer list and doing all the fellowship things. Those things are nice. But what about a church that really has an impact in what God is doing in a city? Huh? Y'all hear what I'm saying? How many know God can open that door? How many know God can open that door? And when God opens that door, and you begin to walk through it with faithfulness, then all of a sudden, city council don't do things unless they want to get the thoughts of what we think about it instead of what the world thinks about it. There'll be favor throughout the city and unleash something that we've not experienced before. But I want to talk about this a little bit. One of the words that we use most of the time when we talk about opportunity is we always say this word, we always say that we are to seize the opportunity, our open door. The word seize is an interesting word. We have to seize our opportunity. Seize open doors that God gives us. The word means to take possession of suddenly and by force. To attack or strike. To take possession of suddenly and by force, to attack or strike. In other words, the Holy Spirit is saying, when I reveal my purpose to you or give you an open door, what the Holy Spirit is saying, you need to seize it. You need to strike at it. You need to grab it while the door is open, while the opportunity is there. You don't wait for it. You let God lead you into it, and you strike, and you go after it. And you don't let it end. Because open doors and opportunities, I believe, are time sensitive. I believe the reason why some people who are called to preach and some people who are called to ministry, some people who are called to own businesses, some people who are called to lead companies, some people who are called to lead their job and lead their areas, I believe what happens is they miss opportunities because the doors open for them and they fail to seize the opportunity. They fail to strike when the door is open and they don't strike. They sit back waiting for God to do it for them instead of stepping out by faith and taking it, doing it, striking at it, taking possession of it, and being what God has opened the door for. In other words, God is opening daily doors for us. But if we hesitate, those doors can close. It's interesting. So why do we miss open doors and opportunities in our life? I want to give you a few reasons why we miss opportunities in our life. Number one, we miss opportunities because open doors don't wait long. As I just mentioned, open doors don't wait long. There is a season that God opens doors for certain things. I begin to think about our area and pray over our area and ask God, God, what is the prevailing thing? What is it? You know, Clayton used to say to me, he said, listen, in Madison, you don't go to Madison, Pastor Madison, like you would pastor Heritage Fellowship, or like you pastored your church in Arkansas, or your church in Tennessee. You don't pastor it that way. You pastor the city and let God speak to you what the city needs. And when God opens the door, then you take advantage of opening and ministering to the city. How many know the needs here is not the same needs as it would be someplace else? How many know the same principalities and spirits that try to rule over and take power and root in and get rooted in? How many know that the same spirits may not be the same spirits that's 100 miles away or 5 states away? But there's opportunities. We have to understand that there will be a season that God will open the door to seize an opportunity. But what happens is people become weak and passive and they don't take that opportunity. Opportunities on your job will open like that, and an opportunity for you to step in and to seek promotion, but you'll miss it because you faint-hearted, or because you're weak, or because you've not prepared yourself. You miss opportunities that God brings your way because you become insecure, or you become to a place to where you feel unworthy to take it, and God has opened it for you, and you have a moment to seize it and to take it, but you back up from it. And you miss an opportunity that God does. And I want you to know tonight that I want to be the kind of people and be the kind of man and be the kind of people that when God opens a door, we seize it. When God opens a door, we walk through it. When God opens a door, we recognize it and we go and take possession and seize it and turn it around to God's good and use it for the kingdom of God. To seize it. They don't last long. Most people are not willing to do. Listen, I love this quote by Thomas Edison. He said, opportunity is missed by most people because it's usually dressed in overalls and looks like work. Thomas Edison said that. You know why some people miss their opportunity and why the door closes for them? Because most people are not willing to do the work and most people are not willing to step out and pay the price that needs to be paid in order to seize and to gain and to step out in faith. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're going to take a city, we can't be people that sit around wanting somebody else to do it. We have to seize the opportunity that God gives us. You want to win the drug addicts? You got to do something that reaches out and touches the drug. You want to win the homeless? You got to step out and do something that touches the homeless. You want to touch married couples? You got to do something to step out and touch married couples. We can't just sit and wait for them to walk through the door and then try to convince them to stay with either by our oratory or by our presentation. You got to go seize. You got to get. You got to grab and take the opportunity when God opens the door. Because there's a season that the door will open and then a season when a door will close. Are y'all getting this tonight or am I just talking to myself? That's why when I think of outreach and I think of some of these things that we do, we just don't do them because we're doing busy. But let me tell you what disappoints me. What disappoints me is that people are unwilling to get dirty, to do something, and take an opportunity when God opens the door. It's disappointing, and sometimes it can be discouraging. And I'm not complaining to you. I love you. And I believe in all of you. And some of you do a whole lot, and I'm not criticizing. But I'm here to tell you, some of you don't give a rip about what's lost out in the city. And it shows by the effort that you put toward reaching them. All right. I'm not afraid tonight. I'm just here to tell you that a city needs to be won, and opportunities are going to come, and either we're going to be a church that's contained, or we're going to be a church that's unloosed. We're either going to be a church that's bound or we're going to be a church that's free. We're either going to be people that change a culture in an area or we're going to let the culture change us. And I didn't come and I didn't move to Madison and bring my family to Madison just to sit back and enjoy the river and enjoy the weather. But I'm here to come to join with some people, with a few folks who will let God put some passion in them to do what God's called them to do and in agreement step out together and to take a seize of every opportunity that God opens the door for us and be a church that's loose and not a church that's bound. I know, it's Thursday. I know. Preaching Sunday on Thursday. But I am here to tell you that open doors won't always last forever. And I want to tell you, if we miss them and don't take the opportunities for them, I believe God will pass us by to somebody else that will. W.A. Criswell used to say, there's a time and season for every church. And the churches that die are the churches that never seize the opportunity that God gives them in the season and the moment that God gives it to them. And what happens is they miss their opportunity and they reject what God's trying to push them into. And what happens is they're pushed back into a place of complacency, never to recover, never to recover. That opportunity doesn't come back to them again because God's not sure He can really trust them with where He's trying to take them. I'm not going to miss it. 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 Number one, opportunities don't wait long. Number two, we miss opportunities and open doors for God's work in our life because many are not willing to fight or contend for it. I got to thinking about that word contend. You know, the word contend, this is what it means. It means to strive as in a contest against many difficulties or obstacles. It means to struggle for it. That's what the word contend means. It means to contend for it. Strive to, as in a contest with many difficulties. Struggle for it. Now I know there's a lot of you that everything you've got, you've had to struggle for. There are many of you, where you are in life, you've had to pay a price to be there. You've had to struggle to get it. You had to contend to get it. You had to fight to get it. You had to fight to get your business. You had to fight to get some of the places that you are. You've learned how to contend for it. You've learned how to fight for it. You've learned how to stand in for it and contend for it. But what happens is we miss opportunities and open doors from God when we are unwilling to fight or contend for what God wants us to do. In other words, open door opportunities will come. You say, well, we're just waiting on the Lord. We're just waiting on the Lord. Well, I know there's a time to wait on the Lord. But here's what most people are doing. Most people are waiting on the Lord to do it for them. They're not waiting on the Lord. They're waiting on the Lord to do it for them. The difference between waiting on the Lord and an open door, an opportunity. Listen, I got to think about it. I got to think about open doors and opportunities in my life. And listen, when God opens opportunities and He calls us to things, there's really not time to sit back and analyze it. There's not really time to sit back and go through all of the things. Sometimes you just have to strike at it. You just have to walk through the door and open the door. You know all the things, a lot of the things that God did in my life, many of the open doors that He gave me, He did quickly, and I stepped through quickly in my life. I saw the open door, and I stepped into it by faith. Stepped into it by opportunity. In other words, you have to contend for it. Somebody asked T.D. Jakes one time. He came down the altar, and Brother Jakes was praying for him. He was a preacher. He said, Brother Jakes, I want a ministry like yours. I want to do what you do. I want to touch the world like you touch the world. I want to preach like you preach. I want to be like you. I want to carry your mantle and your anointing that's on your life. And Brother Jake said, you sure you want that? He said, oh yeah, I want to be able to touch the nations and the world. And I want to be able to do all that you're doing and even more than what you're doing. Brother Jake said, okay, I'll pray for you. Brother Jakes walked over. He got some oil. He laid hands on him. He said, Lord, I pray that he'll fight every devil that comes down the road. I pray that he'll have to walk through days where he didn't have food on his table. I pray his cars break down, and I pray he has to preach in one suit. I pray, Lord, that everywhere he looks, there's a fight, there's a battle. I pray that he has to pastor churches with two people and storefronts. I pray that he has to deal with devils and sick. And the guy says, wait a minute. He said, I don't want you to pray that for me. And Brother Jake said, let me tell you where I didn't get here just by walking into it one day. God opened the door and I had to go through the process of what God was doing in my life. And when a door opened, I walked through it and I was faithful in it. I was faithful with five people when God gave me five. And I was faithful when He gave me 10. I was faithful when He gave me 200. I was faithful when He gave me 1,000. I was faithful when He gave me 10,000. I went 5 years preaching in one suit. And the thing is, sometimes we miss our opportunities and we miss the doors that God opens for us because sometimes we're willing to contend to a point, but we get to some point where the cost is too much and you're asking too much of my time, Pastor. You're asking for too much of my dedication. You're asking for too much of my commitment. And I'm willing to contend for that. You know how I know that? You know, the door opened for me. We were in the middle of a revival at our church. We was in the middle of a revival. I was having a great time. Just sitting on a pew and teaching in a Christian school, really not thinking that God was going to open the door for me, even though I was praying for it. And in the middle of a great revival, in the middle of God moving, in the middle of being happy, in the middle of being settled, all of a sudden, one moment like that, God opens the door. And I knew it was God. Because the door that opened could only have been opened by God. And I went and I left this great church and we went to this little small church that was pioneering a church. They had 60 people to start off with. And how would you like to do this? I was promised I was going to be paid. Left thinking I was going to have a paycheck and be able to step into ministry full time. But when I got there, they told me they couldn't pay me. After I moved my family 300 miles. After I stepped out because I wasn't looking for what I could get. I just knew it was an open door for God for me. And I knew I had to step through it. I knew I couldn't waste any time. I couldn't sit back and analyze it. And so, here we are, 300 miles from home, and now I've got to be bivocational. They said, well, here, you're going to be in charge of the youth group. And I said, okay. And so, my first youth meeting, I had four people. Three of them were sisters. And I had four people. And they said, build this youth group. Now I could have said, I'm better than this. I got this, and that. I could have complained about it. But listen, the Spirit of God, I knew God had opened the door. And I knew that where God sent me, I had to contend for it. So I began teaching them young people like they were my kids. I began having Bible studies with them. We began to grow in our youth group. And the church began to grow. And I would take every opportunity to serve the pastor and to preach and to do whatever he asked me to do. The church had a setback. He fell out of the ceiling, broke his arm, and nobody was there. And all of a sudden, now I had to preach. The pastor was out 6 months. Here I am. All I knew is how to street preach. Call people homos and, you know, fornicators and everything. That's how I learned to preach on the street. That's how I learned to preach. And so I would get up and I'd be nervous. My knees would be shaking. I've got a bunch of southern people who are wanting a word from God. And here I am, 20-something years old, trying to preach and trying to carry a church while a pastor's sick. But I contended for it. I wasn't going to let it destroy me. It was an open door that God was going to use. And so God began to work, and all of a sudden we began to grow. The church began to grow. The pastor came back. And then he'd get to a new church, and we combined with another church, and we get to this church, and this is what he says to me. He said, now I want you now, you're no longer going to be the youth pastor, but I want you to be my associate. I said, okay, that's great. He said, now here's your job. Your job now is you got the married couples. I said, okay. So you're going to teach Sunday school to the married couples and you're going to disciple married couples. I said, okay. So I woke up into Sunday school for the first time and I'm going to teach the married couples, and there's two married couples and a guy whose wife wouldn't come to church. But he's in the married couples class. But he was there, praise God. She wasn't, but he was there. And so we just begin to love on people. We just begin to love on the couples. We just begin to love on young couples. Every time God opened the door for us to go out and minister to young couples or see young couples, when we were out on the street, we would pull them in, we'd invite them, we'd come, we'd follow up, we'd visit them. I got up every day contending for what God had opened the door for me to do. My eyes was not on becoming a pastor. My eyes was on what God had given me to do at that moment. And what happens is we want all this glory. We want all this title. We want all position. Let me tell you, you can have title and not be effective in the kingdom of God. You can have position and not be able to make a difference in people's lives. And so we just began. And guess what? We grew that class to 40 couples, 50 couples. They had to knock a room out upstairs so we could get all of the married couples into that Sunday school class on Sunday morning. See, I had to learn that I had to contend for what God had given me to do at that moment. I had to contend. Listen, the devil will try to fight you, will try to tell you, will try to contain you and keep. I could have been depressed and said, I should be the pastor. I'm a preacher. But I want to tell you, if you can't do the small things that God gives you, you'll never be promoted to the place that where God can trust you with the big things. And what happens is we live in a generation, I want now, I want to be promoted now, I want recognized now. And the truth is, how many people walk into companies and walk right in and walk up and get the vice president's position just by showing up and not having experience? You don't do that in the corporate world, do we? I'm sure Rick's got people all the time, 18-year-old kids coming in thinking they could be the CEO. But what they don't know is, for years, he worked 70 hours a week, driving thousands of miles all the way across the country. Years being away from his family, driving in on a Saturday night, leaving again on a Monday morning. And many of you that own businesses, you've done the same thing. Or work jobs, you've done the same thing. You've contended for what you felt like the open door that God gave you was for. But what they see is only see the success that you walk in, or they only see the anointing, and they want it right now, but they don't want to pay a price for it. And we get on TV and we see churches and we see preachers. We see all the grandeur and we see all the big churches and we see all the glitz. And we're like, I want that, I want that. But are you willing to pay the price to get those things? And so, because many are not willing to fight or contend. Number three, opportunities and open doors often comes with confrontation. I read to you 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9. Listen, it says, who's got an amplified Bible? Anybody got an amplified Bible? Anybody got an amplified Bible with them? Amplified. Anybody got an amplified? No? Let me just read it this way. 1 Corinthians 9 says, for a great effectual door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries, Paul said. But in the amplified, it says this. It says, a very promising opportunity for me in Ephesus. And there are many adversaries. In other words, Paul said this. See, opportunities and open doors often comes with confrontation. Paul said, there's a great door, effectual door, that has been opened to me. But there's many adversaries. There's going to be confrontation when you begin to step into what God has for you. Opportunity results in opposition. In other words, there will be opposition. But you have to be willing to stand against all the adversaries. And you have to be willing to stand with God and press through. There will be adversary. You don't need to sit down at the negotiating table with the devil. Opportunities and open doors often come with confrontation. Let me tell you, if you step out to do something from God, there's going to be confrontation. There's going to be confrontation. Because somebody's not going to like your faith and where you are. Number four, because there is a big difference between ambition and seizing. Now, the definition of ambition is an ardent desire for rank, for fame, or power. A desire to achieve a particular end. A desire for activity, to aspire. A strong desire for advancement. Now, what was the key word that you heard in all that definition? A desire. Ambition is a desire only. Seizing is an action. There are many who have desire and many who have strong ambitions, but many of them don't accomplish much because they've never learned how to seize the opportunity that God gives them. Seizing an opportunity, you must be a man or a woman who's willing to step out in faith and to take a risk. Ambition is waiting to do it. Seizing is doing it. I guarantee you there's a lot of people who have the ambition to do something for God. But where are the seizers? Where are the people who seize those opportunities that God gives? Hebrews chapter 11, we know that is the famous chapter of heroes of the faith. All of them were seizers. All of them were seized the opportunities of the door that God opened to them. And they were risk takers. Matter of fact, I love the phrase in Hebrews 11. You see it a couple of times. It says, and some died in the faith, it says. In other words, they died seeking out what they believed for. In other words, they didn't really get to see or accomplish or get to what they were striving for. It says they died in the faith. But they were willing to step out and do it. The Bible said Abraham did not give up and continued. It said he searched for a city whose builder and maker was God. And though he didn't see it, he contended for it. The book of Colossians, Paul talks, Colossians 4, 3 and 4. Paul said this, Paul was in prison. He said, pray also for me that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mysteries of Christ. Even while Paul was in prison, he contended for the faith. Even while he was in prison, he seized the every opportunity that God gave him. Hallelujah. The door sometimes, God will open doors and sometimes gives us access. Romans 5:2 says, by whom also we have access by faith into grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. By grace wherein we have access by faith. We have access by faith. Doors are open to us by faith. We have access by faith. In other words, what opens doors? We step into the doors that God opens by faith. We step out to do. We step out to preach. We step out to minister. We step out to start a business. We step out to take a job. We step out to gain promotion. We step out to do something for God. We do it by faith. We take a risk to do it. And those who are unwilling to take risk are unwilling to step out and to open the opportunities that God gives us. You know, I think of the outreaches that we do in the tent meeting and the fireworks. I think of these things. I don't look at them as carnivals and fun. Let me tell you, I look at them as effectual doors that God has opened. I look at them as opportunities for God to give us and open a door for us to plow into a culture, plow into a city, plow into a people and win people to God. I look as an open door to step into by faith. And yes, we take a risk because we bring people on this property that probably, you know, are not used to coming on church property. Their weekends are not spent in church. Their weekends are spent on Main Street. Their weekends are spent at the town and tap or the tap and go or the electric boogie or whatever it is that's downtown. Right? That's where they're used to being. We take a risk. We take a risk by feeding them. We take a risk by putting food in their hand. We take a risk by giving opportunities for their kids, and they walk on here, and homosexuals walk on our property and walk across holding hands. We have folks that come, and some of them drunk, some of them, I smelled reefer last year. Y'all, what's reefer? Wait, what's reefer? Pot. Hagbone, whatever you want to call it. That's what we used to call it. You take a risk. But when you take a risk and take an open door, maybe there's a Billy Graham out there that may walk on this property, that God may seize his life, and all of a sudden he grows up and changes the whole world, all because an open door was open. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Somebody who might want to commit suicide may find that there could be a place of safety and peace found here. Why? It's an open door. It's not just a carnival. It's an open door. It's an open door. It's an open door. It's an open door. The tent meeting is going to be an open door. It's going to be an open door. I said it's going to be an opportunity. It's going to be an open door. It's going to draw hundreds and thousands of people down here. I'm telling you, I'm believing God. It's an open door. It's an open door to bring it, go to the people instead of waiting for them to come to us. It's an open door. It's an open door. Paul said that there is an effectual open door for me in Ephesus, but I know that when I walk through that door, there's going to be many adversaries that's going to come against my work and what I'm trying to do. But Paul said, I'm not backing down. Why? To whom also we have access by faith. We're risk takers. We're risk takers. I know. I got to close. I got to wind this thing up. Wind her down. Number five, open door opportunities usually hides behind adversity. See, a lot of times, our opportunity and open door sometimes is hidden behind that adversity you're looking at. I know you know the story. You've heard it 1,000 times. David called to the battle. And I often thought about that. And I've seen that in so many ways and heard it preached so many times. But I've never seen it from the perspective that when David was confronting Goliath, David was not concerned about his own death. It's interesting. David saw it as an opportunity. He saw it as an open door. You know why? How we know that? Because this is what David said. He said, what shall be done for the man who slays this Philistine? You think he was thinking about the giant? What shall be done? He shall marry the king's daughter. David had already been anointed king. He knew the throne of God was just beyond that giant. And that giant was an adversity that blocked David's purpose. David didn't see the adversity. He saw the open door. He saw the opportunity. Everybody saw a giant, but David didn't saw a giant. My uncle used to have a saying. He used to say, now my uncle was a farmer, and my uncle used to say this. He used to say, when there would be adversity in the family or there'd be something come up, there'd be trial, he'd say, oh, don't worry about that. That's just heifer dust. That's just heifer dust. And for years, I never knew what heifer dust was until he explained to me what heifer dust was. And a lot of times what the devil will do to distract you from your purpose and distract you from where God wants you, so stir up a bunch of junk, a bunch of drama, a bunch of stuff that's standing in front of your opportunity, oh, your open door, standing in front of your purpose, your goal, where God has you. He'll stir all that up and get you distracted by what the devil's doing, and all you see is a bunch of heifer dust, and you don't see what God has on the other side, which is the victory and the place of where he's taking you. And a lot of times we can't see past the heifer dust. I'm here to tell you that God will bring you through. I got to close. Last thing. Number six, opportunities and open doors. Do not wait around for the faint-hearted. Do not wait around for the faint-hearted. Adam, would you come? Now here's... Jesus takes the disciples and puts them on a boat. And Matthew chapter 14, and he puts them on a boat and he sends them out and they sail into the storm. You all know the story. Jesus comes walking on the water and all the disciples are in the boat and they look and they see Jesus and they think he's a ghost. Right? And Jesus calls out to them and they see that it's Jesus. But while on the boat, one of the disciples, all of them, see Jesus and know it's Jesus. But what does Peter do? What does he say? He said, Jesus, bid me to come to you. And what Jesus said, he said, Peter, come. And what did Peter do? He stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on water. Now, I don't know how far he went, but the scripture, he must not have gone too far. Because what did he see? He began to see the wind, it said, the storm. In other words, what did he see? He saw the heifer dust. And he lost faith. And he began to sink. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's significant about that. Of all of those disciples that were in the boat, Peter's the most interesting. All of those disciples had ambition. All of those disciples enjoyed being around Jesus. All of them never denied being around Jesus. Peter did. But all of them were a part of his entourage. But it's Peter that took the risk. It's Peter that took the open door, the opportunity. And guess what? Peter's the only one in human history that's ever walked on water beside Jesus. He's got that thing in his hat. We get to heaven, Peter can say, hey, Jesus walked on water, so did I. But I think it's deeper than that. I think it's deeper than that. You know why I think it's deeper than that? Because what I think happened was is that Jesus, on the day of Pentecost, when the church needed a leader, when the church needed somebody that was going to step out and take the opportunity to lead the early church, and to not to step out with a boldness, Jesus needed somebody who was willing to take a risk and somebody who was willing to not back down and not be faint-hearted, because the early church was going to face adversity. The early church was going to face, but doors were going to open to them. And guess who led the early church? It was Peter. I don't know for sure, but I believe that's why Peter rose to the front. I believe that when he stepped out on that boat and onto the water, I believe it was telling Jesus he was going to walk through every door that God opened for him. And God knew he could trust him with the church because Peter was willing to take a risk and trust Jesus every time the door opened for him to do it. Now, he wasn't perfect, as we know, but he was a man who was willing to take a step. Stand with me tonight, if you would. Bible says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. When the spies were in the new land and they were spying out the new land, you all remember the spies, they saw the giants in the land and they said, we are as grasshoppers in their sight. And then they said, in Numbers 13, they said, and we are also as grasshoppers in their sight. How'd they know that? How did those spies know that those Canaanites looked at them as grasshoppers in their sight? How did they know that? They confessed that, but how did they didn't have any action with them in the promised land. How'd they know that? I'll tell you how they know it. They didn't know it. They perceived it. They perceived it. Because they were looking at the adversity and not looking at the opportunity. They saw giants, but they failed to see houses they did not build. They saw giants, but they failed to see the grapes and the milk and honey that ran through the land. They saw giants, but they failed to see the vineyards that they didn't build that God was going to put in their possession and they saw the adversity and see instead of seeing the opportunity. And what happens is there's a lot of us, sometimes as churches, what we do is we get focused on the adversity and we forget the opportunity that God gives us. And we get focused on the heifer dust and the drama and all the things that surround all of those things. I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to focus on heifer dust. I'm not going to focus on giants that are intimidating, on giants that try to be intimidating. I'm going to focus on the opportunity that God opens up for us. How about you? You want to walk through some doors? I want to walk through some doors. I want to walk through some opportunities. I don't want to miss God. Would you bow your head tonight? Let's pray together. Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, that you would fill our heart with expectation. Lord, that you would fill our heart, Lord. The Lord, when we step in faith, we know there's going to be opposition. Paul came upon many adversaries in Ephesus. It was a stronghold. And the reason he came against such strongholds because Ephesus would be the epicenter to the seven churches of Asia. If he could not win Ephesus, then the seven churches of Asia would not even exist. But Paul said, this is a great door that has opened up to me, and there are many adversaries. But what Paul saw, he saw the work of God. He did not see the adversity. So Lord, help us to walk through doors of opportunity. I think there are people here that God has called to start businesses, step into opportunities that they've not known before, step in faith, go through doors that you open. Help us not to be faint-hearted, God. Help us to open up and become everything that you want us to be. Help us to use every opportunity that we have to be a church that's not contained, a people that's not contained. I refuse to be contained by the devil. I refuse to be trapped by religion. I refuse to be trapped by regulation and rules and by people who... I won't let the enemy close doors that you've opened. Father, help us to be wise and wise as serpents and harmless as doves. And Lord, when we get set back, that we won't stay back, that we'll still walk through opportunity. You said, Lord, I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. I will give you an expected end. We won't let our faith be contained. We won't let our potential be contained. And our future will not be contained. We will seize every opportunity. We will suddenly take possession by force. We will attack and strike every door that is open to us. Holy Spirit, expand our ability to receive. Expand our ability. And Lord, when we walk in faith, confirm it with signs and wonders. We know we're inviting warfare. We know we're inviting warfare. But like David, we see the prize. We see the end. We don't see the giant. We see the reward. So, Lord, we thank you tonight. Would you just lift your hands and let me pray for you? Father, I pray that you open doors for every believer here tonight. Whatever door needs to be opened, I pray that you open it. I pray, God, that if it's financial, if it's spiritual, Lord, whatever that door is, I pray that they won't miss their opportunity. I pray they won't miss their business opportunity. I pray they won't miss their opportunity to step into things that are greater. I pray, Lord, that you'll give them the mind of Christ. They'll be able to receive from you, God. I pray, Lord, that their hearts will be full of joy. Their hearts will be full, Lord. I pray, God, every opportunity that comes, every door that opens, that though there may be adversaries, Lord, I pray just like you did for Paul, that you would bring them through and strengthen them, Lord. We thank you, Lord. You've not just given us ambition, but you've given us the ability to seize and to step out by faith. Thank you, Lord God. We pray the peace of God upon our lives. We pray, Lord, we learn to contend. We pray, Lord, that we learn to confront. We pray, Lord, that we learn to seize. And we pray, Lord, that we learn to step by faith. So, Lord, we thank you. We're so excited to think of what might come. And I'm so excited to think of what River Valley will be in 20 years. We won't be a church that's contained. We'll be a church of faith and people who take risk. We thank you for the hope we have in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Would you reach your hand out toward Rhonda? I want to